Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Wednesday. It is September the 11th, and it is 23 years since you and I witnessed the most brutal, heinous attack on America since December the 7th. It was interesting last night as the Vice President, Kamala Harris, was telling people that January 6th was the worst attack since the Civil War. And I thought, I mean, even you cannot be that oblivious, can you? Here you are, you're engaged in this debate or this piece of kabuki theater, whatever it is that you're doing, on the 10th of September. Are you even aware of what happened on September the 11th? But she's so desperate for political mileage and traction that she wants you to believe January the 6th was a more consequential and threatening event, dangerous event, deadly event, than 9/11. Bizarre. Anyway, we'll talk a little bit about it. I have to tell you that in no small part, I feel a little spent as far as the debate stuff has gone. Everybody's been talking about it all day. I know. And I just feel on September the 11th, whatever year it is, wherever I happen to be for however long I have, that I want to pay tribute to what happened on September the 11th, 2001. I want to remember it. I don't want it to be forgotten. I am disturbed as I look at social media and I see the big tech people who are scrubbing images from September the 11th, scrubbing them. There are certain images that you cannot see anymore. You know, the last couple of years, I have been I don't know if I've been punished by Facebook, but I normally get a nasty gram of some sort from the Facebook people saying you've posted content that goes against our standards. Right? And I realize what it is. Every year in my memory, images of people jumping out of the World Trade Center, it comes up in the memory because I posted it when it happened. And now that's considered to be offensive. Well, I've got news for you, Facebook and anybody else. It's always been offensive. It's always been awful. But it's essential that we know who and what happened. If we would like to survive, then we'd better be aware of our enemies. Almost 3,000 people lost their lives on September the 11th, 2001. Well, maybe I'm the one who's wrong here, but I think that's consequential. I think that's important. I think that that is worth paying attention to. You remember the images of human beings making that choice? Because I do. What an awful choice. Talk about a Hobson's choice. Imagine for a second you are... you're on the 100th floor, the 105th floor. That fire is coming for you. You know that. You know that it's coming. The floor is hot. The walls are hot. Smoke is beginning to get to you, or smoke has already gotten to you. The power's out. You probably don't realize that the building may wind up pancaking. I don't know. Maybe you are thinking that. Maybe you're not thinking that. I don't know. But you do know that that smoke, that fire, is going to take you out. And then you look out the window. Now, maybe the first time you look out the window, you're looking to the other tower, you're looking to another building that's relatively high, and you're thinking, oh, you know, there's going to be a helicopter, right? There's going to be a helicopter that'll land and they'll rescue all of us. Or maybe there's like firemen dressed like Spider-Man and they're climbing up the building. Somebody's coming to get us. They're going to rescue us. Of course they're going to rescue us. They have to rescue us. I mean, that's what they do. And it starts to hit you. Nobody's coming to get you. Not because they don't want to, but because they can't. Imagine being one of those firefighters. You're walking up 100 sets of steps. You're carrying, you got your Scott pack, you got that coat, you've got the helmet, I don't know if you've got hand tools, whatever it is, you got a lot. And the thing that I learned the first time that I was on a fire scene, and you may laugh at this, but it's hot. I went in after the fire was out. And my job as a cop at that fire scene was just to make sure that nobody came there and stole anything. Wasn't that difficult? And what hit me standing there was how freaking hot it was. And the firefighters had already been in there. They already put the fire out. This was residual heat. And I was sweating like I had run a marathon in a fur coat or something. Now imagine you're one of those firefighters from the New York City Fire Department. You've come through the first floor. They've got their command center on the first floor. And they're saying, hey, you know, a lot of the radios aren't working. But you got to go. We've got people on the 100th floor, the 110th floor. You got to go. You got to go. And they went. As I mentioned to you, how many non-Catholics received last rites that day? A whole slew of them. You know why? It wasn't a conversion in religion, but they knew they were not coming back. They were never, ever getting out of those buildings alive, and they still went. Take a listen to cut number 6.
Can you still imagine? Are you going to have jumpers, Dave? Jumpers.
All right, Division 1, be advised. Battalion 2, advised you have jumpers from the World Trade Center. Okay.
Jumpers. Those people on those high floors who said, my God, I'm either going to burn alive or I'm going to hit the cement 100 floors down. Either way, this is my last day on Earth. The last choice they can make, the last choice they can make is their means of death. It's horrible. It's absolutely horrible. But it happened. Don't let it be erased. Don't let it be forgotten. I'm going to do my part, and I'm counting on you to do yours as well. A few moments from now, Chesterfield County Sheriff Carl Leonard is going to be with us. As you may or may not know, actually, Carl spent decades with the United States Coast Guard, and he was there in New York, part of the 9/11 response, and we'll talk with him. I'm looking forward to chatting with him. It is 414, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA.
The aircraft is out east of the White House.
Hello?
Crystal City, just north of Crystal City.
Just to the north of your town.
Yeah, stop all departures.
23 years ago. It is 420, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. I want to remind you, we've got Politics and Pints coming up. It's the eighth time we're going to do this. It's happening on October the 16th, Wednesday evening, down at the Beacon Theater in Hopewell. And you know the way this works, don't you? Are you like the one person who hasn't heard of Politics and Pints? Well, here's what happens. A whole bunch of us get together. And we talk about politics, and we enjoy a pint. And because it's going to be right before Election Day, let me tell you something. It's going to be spirited, it's going to be hot and heavy, and you definitely need to get your tickets. They sell out every time we do this. And I'm not trying to be hyperbolic, I'm not trying to shake a finger at you, but I'm just telling you, I've been there since the beginning. I actually came up with the name, Politics and Pints. We sell out every single time. So if you would like to join us, you've got to go over right now, WRVA.com, and get your tickets while we've got them, because we're not going to have them for that much longer. It is always me and John Reed. Gary Hess is our sort of a master of ceremonies, official referee. Brian Kilmeade is coming back. Dana Lash is coming in for this. Howard Gutman is going to be there. And you should be there as well. So seriously, go to WRBA.com. Get your tickets now while you can get them. A couple of moments from now, we've got Chesterfield County Sheriff Carl Leonard, who is going to join us. We'll talk with Carl about his duty as a member of the United States Coast Guard up there responding to 9/11. It's amazing the people who were pressed into service. I've got a couple of things that I have to share with you. I want you to take a listen. I focus, I know, on the first responders because, frankly, I wore a uniform. I pinned on a badge. And so I understand what it takes to answer a call, a radio call. I never was placed in a situation where I had to deal with anything like this. And I know we spend a lot of time, we talk a lot about New York, right? The New York City Fire Department, the New York City Police Department, the Port Authority Police Department, the federal agents that were deployed up there. But let's not forget in Northern Virginia, let's not forget those heroes who had to deal with what happened at the Pentagon. Take a listen to cut number two. It's the Arlington Police.
114 with an American Airlines plane headed eastbound over the pike, possibly toward the Pentagon.
10-4, cruiser 50 direct.
50, 10-4.
There's an airplane headed towards the Pentagon. Anybody ever think they would get a call like that? I mean, anybody who is in law enforcement, anybody who's a firefighter, did you ever think you get a call that said, yeah, there's an airplane, and it's a jet flying into a building? Now, I suppose you would understand what it involves. Maybe you'd expect it or what have you, but 2001, this was unheard of. Take a listen to a little bit more. How about cut number four?
Come over, and in Manhattan, you don't hear planes.
911 to Manhattan.
Battalion 1.
We just had a plane crash into level 4 of the World Trade Center. Transmit a second alarm and start relocating companies into the area.
10-4, Battalion 1.
Battalion 1 is also sending the whole confinement on this box to that area, okay?
Engine 6 to Manhattan, okay.
Engine 6. Right.
The World Trade said that tower number 1 is on fire. The whole outside of the building was just a huge explosion.
10-4, all companies stand by at this time.
Engine 6 to Manhattan, on that box immediately.
It's amazing. It's amazing. You listen to that guy. Now, number one, he sounds like the classic New York firefighter, right? I mean, you listen to him, you're like, oh, yeah, I could see that. I could see that guy sitting in the firehouse, cracking a joke or two with his buddies. I don't know how firehouses necessarily work in your neighborhood, but when I was growing up in Philadelphia, firehouses were, well, they were exactly that. Firefighters lived there during their shift, right, and whatever it is. But the doors were always up, and those guys were either washing a truck or they were standing outside and they were talking. Kids were going up to them and saying hello. It was really sort of a neat experience. And what I learned later in life as a police officer is you wanted to know where all the firehouses were because they had clean bathrooms and they generally had something to eat. And the firefighters, talk about a brotherhood. Talk about camaraderie. It's unbelievable to think about it. And as I've said so many times, these guys are nuts. Who runs into a building that's on fire? Well, on September the 11th, 2001, 343 members of the New York City Fire Department did exactly that. And they never came out. and the first casual.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Was Father Michael Judge. He's listed as the first official line of duty death on September the 11th. He was a chaplain for the New York City Fire Department. He was beloved. And he was that first person carried out. And that image now today is my Facebook cover photo. Because I don't want people to forget Father Judge. I don't want people to forget any of this. And my fear is that it is actively being scrubbed. I look on social media, I look at what big tech's doing, and it's not good. Chesterfield County Sheriff Carl Leonard answered the call. He'll talk about it with us at 4:35. Tomorrow morning, my friend John Reed will be here at 6 a.m. Please make sure you are here for John. It is 4:26. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 4:35. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 23 years ago, you remember where you were? Isn't it weird? You could ask someone, oh, heck, you could ask me, Jeff, like, what did you have for dinner two nights ago? And I have to think about it. Oh, all right, no, today's Wednesday. Remember yesterday I even screwed up my days? I mean, think about that. Were it not for my bestest buddy down there in Chesterfield County, Emily Morrissey, who reminded me it was Tuesday. I thought yesterday was Wednesday for a little bit. And Emily, straightened me up. What did I have two nights? Oh, I had duck two nights ago because it was my birthday. What did I have the night before? I couldn't tell you. I have no clue. None. Did I enjoy it? No, probably. What was it? I don't know. What about you? Can you remember? All right, well, we'll go back a week then, or 2 weeks, or 3 weeks. I'm willing to bet you remember exactly where you were and exactly what you were doing 23 years ago on September the 11th. Note here from Donald. Donald is a police chaplain out in Chesapeake. He says, Jeff, the Commonwealth's attorney in Chesapeake, Matt Hamill, was in the Twin Tower complex on September the 11th. He wasn't in the Twin Towers themselves, but an office complex right next door to those buildings. It's crazy. You think about it. I did not get home from the radio station out in Las Vegas until, well, I guess it was the next day. And one of the things that happened is I chatted with the ambassador from the PLO. PLO had an ambassador to the United Nations. And I got him on the air. Now, we may have kind of overstated some of our affiliations. We were a CBS radio affiliate. And I think my producer just said it was CBS calling, and I think he just thought whatever he thought, but it didn't matter to me. And so we got him on the air, and I was talking with him. And it was at that time, if you remember, in Gaza, in the West Bank, those folks were celebrating. Remember that? Celebrating, throwing candy in the air. They thought it was the greatest thing they had ever seen. And I said to this guy, well, what's going on with that? And he said, well, there's nobody celebrating there. I said, sir, I'm watching it on television. No, you don't know what you're watching. Well, I'm pretty sure I know what I'm watching. I'm watching people there throwing candy in the air, celebrating the slaughter of Americans. No, no, you don't understand. I do understand. And that's when he told me that I was a tool of the Zionists and the Zionist occupation government. Oh, okay. Gotcha. Gotcha. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you so much. It's craziness, isn't it? But I'll tell you what. People were ready to deflect. I mean, those are the same people now that are attacking Israel. Those are the same people. Same folks who slaughtered innocent people on October the 7th. It's just absolutely outrageous. A lot of this stuff happened in the air. One of the things that struck me and continues to strike me is that a large portion of these murderous, disgusting, vile terrorists left from Logan International Airport in Boston. And I can't tell you how many times, hundreds of times, I have flown in and out of Logan. And that's where these folks were. Different day, different month, I might have been sitting next to, I might have been on the same flight. There were all sorts of people on those flights who were just regular people in Boston who had jobs that required them to travel. You know Marshalls and TJ Maxx? Well, they're headquartered. It says all one company, but they're headquartered right outside of Boston. And there were a number of people who worked for those companies who had to travel in marketing and things of that sort. They were on those flights. There were people who were traveling with their little kids. They were going on vacation somewhere. Terrorists didn't care. They were determined to slaughter as many innocent people as possible. I want you to take a listen to some of the things going on with the air traffic control that day. Cut number one.
Hey, can you look out your window right now?
Yeah.
Can you see God about 4,000 feet, about 5 east of the airport right now? Looks like he's...
Yeah, I see him.
You see God, look, is he descending for the building also?
He's descending really quick, too, yeah.
Well, that's...
2,500 feet now. He just dropped 800 feet in like one sweep.
That's another situation. What kind of airplane is that? Can you guys tell?
I don't know. I'll read it out in a minute. Another one just hit the building.
Wow.
Wow. Another one just hit it hard.
Another one just hit the World Trade.
The whole building just came apart.
Oh, holy smokes.
Think about that. You had air traffic controllers. The job's not stressful enough? And now you're watching your screen and things are just vanishing. I mean, because they blow up. They're not there anymore. You got pilots going, hey, yeah, I'm looking out my window. You're not going to believe what I'm seeing. And that was part of the problem. None of us believed what we were seeing. None of us believed what we were hearing. I'll give you another little piece, again, from the sky. Cut number 9.
Well, the cockpit's not answering. Somebody's stabbed in business class. And I think there's mace that we can't breathe. I don't know. I think we're getting hijacked.
Some of the most heroic folks on those flights were the flight attendants. Some of the sound from those women will just make you sit down and weep uncontrollably. Some of the phone calls will absolutely make you weep. And I must tell you that we don't have a lot of those this year. We've had them in the past. Those are ones I think will probably rotate in and out a little bit more. Because you're literally listening to people's last couple of moments on Earth. And I feel a little guilty about that. But I also feel that I don't want their deaths to be in vain. And there are two people, you know this if you've listened to my show at any point, on September the 11th in any year, there are two people I feel as if I know. Kevin Cosgrove and Melissa Doi. Now, I never met them. But I've listened to their frantic phone calls for years. And I just, I do feel as if I know them. And we're going to share some audio from them in a little bit. I always try and do it towards the end. Because to me, it brings it all together. People who got up in the morning and went to work. Right? These were not combatants. You weren't talking about people who were in the military who said, hey, moment's notice, we might have to fight for our country. We're talking about people who were accountants, file clerks, salespeople, waiters, chefs. I mean, think of a profession, a nurse, a doctor, a farmer, all these people. All they were doing was going to work. And they never came home. And we would be irresponsible if we did not remember them on this date. It is 444, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA.
Pentagon just got hit. Delta and God damn it, I can't even protect my NCA.
There were thousands and thousands of radio calls going back and forth. There were some cell phone calls. You got to remember now, 23 years ago, people had cell phones. We had the internet, but it certainly was not like it is now. If you remember way back when we had those hand crank cell phones. But the technology was not nearly as advanced as it is. They still had phones in the back of seats on airplanes. Remember that? You would have to swipe a card and it would be, $87 a minute and stuff like that. Well, people were using those. Remember, a lot of the people on those flights were working. They were traveling for work. And they were relatively early morning flights. And a lot of their wives or husbands or children or parents were either still asleep or they themselves had gone out. They went to school or they went to work or what have you. So a lot of these people called home and they got voicemail. They got an answering machine. And these folks left their last ever communication with anybody. I think we've been hijacked. I don't think I'm going to make it. I'm not going to make it home. I'm not getting home. How about the folks on Flight 93, Shanksville, Pennsylvania? Remember that? Let's roll. Remember that? Would you have the presence of mind to do that? It's one of those situations when we think about September the 11th, 2001, where some people were placed in situations that are quite literally unimaginable, or at least were unimaginable. Now, sadly, we can imagine them because we've seen them. The depravity of one human being directed towards another was something that most of us, we just didn't fully grasp. We knew there were bad people. Some of us who had served in law enforcement certainly knew that there were bad people. And we knew that bad people did bad things. And some bad people did really, really bad things. But I don't know that any of us could have imagined before then that airplanes with hundreds of people on them were going to be kidnapped, hijacked, and used as airborne explosives. But that's what happened. That's what I say the whole world changed. That's what I mean. Yeah, the towers aren't there anymore, and I got news for you. As somebody who used to drive by them fairly regularly, being on, the Jersey Turnpike or the Garden State Parkway or what have you, looking out the window, going, oh, yeah, there they are. How about the Sopranos? Sopranos opening scene, right? With Tony Soprano driving. What's he looking at? He's looking out the window, isn't he? I can't even begin to describe how I felt the first time that I had to go back up there. And I looked, and those towers were not there. It's like somebody punched you in the gut. And we'll conclude our program this afternoon. We're trying to track down Chesterfield County Sheriff Carl Leonard, who was there at Ground Zero as part of the United States Coast Guard. You got a moment here. Go over to WRBA.com. Get your tickets for Politics and Pints. It is, I guarantee, going to be a sellout. Oh, tomorrow morning, 6 a.m., John Reed will be here. Make sure you're here for that. 4:56, Jeff Katz.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.